This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
I'm already giddy because I can hear him.
We are stupidly excited.
Which is great. I mean, it's a test.
Dude, he's fired up.
It's a testament.
Hey, how's the weather out there? He's fired up.
It's a testament to his personality. It's obvious to see why he was so successful
and I love Coach
was
Joe.
Able to connect with college athletes when he was head coach at LSU and beyond. And it is our pleasure to welcome back to Ben and Woods. It's been a few years to our David P. Shapiro fan hotline. Coach O, Ed Orgeron, is back with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Coach, how have you been?
Man, I've been great, guys. Hey, I'm back in Louisiana. I'm in my garage. I'm getting a good garage pump, you know. I'm in the middle of a workout. I'm getting to talk to my boys from San Diego. Hey, what a great day, man. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. Happy holiday season to you. Obviously, LSU is back in the news, as they have been for a while, Coach O. But I wanted to ask you this, man. They're, with the new hire of Lane Kiffin, the firing of Brian Kelly, you know, nobody's been able to win at LSU since Coach O. What makes that job so difficult for a new head coach?
You know, first of all, the expectations are very high, right? And you're in the SEC, you got to beat Alabama. I mean, that ain't no secret there. You know what I'm saying? And that has been the benchmark. And you got to get the great players to come here. But I think the thing with LSU that turned us around, we recruited the great players in the state of Louisiana. You know, we got Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson and Clyde and Patrick and all those first rounders. But we're able to get Joe. And we're able to get Joe and run the offense that we needed to score enough points to beat the Alabamas and to beat the Georgias and to beat the Clemsons. I think Joe made the difference of putting all the pieces together.
I know Coach Kiffin sought out the advice of coaches like yourself and Nick Saban and Pete Carroll as he was trying to make his decision between Ole Miss and LSU. We debated, every show in America kind of debated that decision. To me, it feels like, yeah, he has a good thing going at Ole Miss. LSU just adds maybe money, but also pressure and headaches. You know, how would you go about a decision like that? And what did you say to him?
Yeah, well, here's what I told him. You know what's best. You've earned this choice. You know, he's done a lot of things in his personal life. He's clear-minded. He's directed. He knows what he's doing. He's built an empire at Ole Miss, which is hard to do. But LSU is the next step. And nothing against Ole Miss, is a good place, but LSU is the upper tier in all the country. And you know, think about this now. Recruiting the state of Louisiana and all the great players that come to Louisiana, and then you got Houston, you got Dallas, and you can recruit nationally. I think this was a good next step for Lane to where you can come and win many national championships, but the pressure's on, you got to do it.
And, you know, we're talking to Coach Ed Orgeron here on Ben and Woods this morning. And, the resources, too, had to play a huge part in it. And I wondered, you know, how coaches like yourself feel back in the day when, you know, there was not the ability to have money like that to go out and spend on a roster. He will have that opportunity, Coach O. How would that change it for you, having, you know, $25 million to go out and spend on your roster?
Well, you know, back then, that wasn't legal, so I can't talk about that.
Exactly.
I can't tell you how much we had.
Zero. We know.
You had to build it from scratch, right, Coach?
Hey, now this is just a joke, okay? Just a joke.
Yeah, right.
They asked me to say, Coach, well, how are you going to deal with the NIL? You know, you went out. When you were out of coaching, there was no NIL. I said, hey, it's easy. Back then, we had to walk through the cash. We had to walk through the back door with the cash. Now we can walk through the front door.
So our suspicions have been... Go ahead.
Hey, just a joke.
Just a joke.
Just a joke.
It was just a joke.
You're on the right show. This is where we often say things that we don't mean.
What's your thought, Coach, on the 12-team college football playoff? They keep tweaking it. We keep hearing, you know, maybe it's going to get bigger. I kind of like where it is right now. Yeah, someone might get left out. Miami might get left out. You can make the argument that Texas, Vanderbilt should have been in, but you do have to cut it off somewhere. There's always going to be a line, and someone's going to be disappointed if they're at the other side of that line.
Fine. I'm going to give you a hard line on that answer, okay? We had to beat Alabama. We had to win the SEC championship. That was the first thing, okay? And then you have to be practically undefeated or maybe have one loss to get in the playoffs with four teams, okay? That was elite. I believe that you have to earn the right to play for the national championship. Now, the 12 teams have watered down the ability to get into the – it's like a tournament now. And, you know, guys that got three losses and are clamoring to get in the playoffs to win a championship, I really don't get that. You know what I mean? I just don't get it. I think y'all shut them out, go to the weight room and get better. That's my own opinion, okay? But I do believe that, you know, if you look at Miami and Notre Dame, Miami beat Notre Dame head-to-head.
Yep. I'm a Notre Dame fan, Miami, and I trust me, I'm real nervous for Sunday.
And look, let me say this. I'm friends with Marcus Freeman. I've been there, and I think he's doing a tremendous job. And look, I think Jeremiah Love's going to win the Heisman. And look, I like watching them play. But, you know, it don't matter if it's Team A against Team B. Team A beat Team B head-to-head. They got the same record. They should be ahead of them. But, you know, that's very controversial. So I just think that the playoffs are watered down. I think that, you know, just because you win your conference and your G5 school, whatever they call that, are they better than the teams that are 10-2? I don't know that. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of controversy there.
Yeah, there is, and I you know, listen, as a Notre Dame fan, I kind of agree with that sentiment. I do, and it's as much as it's going to be a hard pill to swallow, because I actually think Notre Dame could win a couple games in once they get into the watered down playoffs. But if they don't get in, I have to take that medicine of like, well, should have handled business, you know, and that's kind of the attitude.
See, now,
that I have.
I disagree a little bit. I'll push back, Coach, because I think teams should be able to evolve and get better. And a team that loses a game or even too early shouldn't be a death knell. If you keep getting better and keep playing well at the end of the season, I like that there's a path to get in. Ohio State won it last year. They wouldn't have been in the playoff at all had that not been 12 teams. And I think they were the best team at the end of
Coach,
the season.
He's defending Notre Dame, which has never happened. It's never happened on this program.
I know, but
it has never happened. This is a banner day.
You've got to agree, Coach. The team that's the best in September is not always the team that's the best at the end of December. And I want to reward the team that's the best, that got better as the season went on, because that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And you have a point. And look, I agree with you. You can either way on all this stuff.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know what? Because I think Notre Dame is a darn good football team. You know what I mean? And Ohio State is a great example last year. So you can argue their point, and nobody's ever going to be right. But look, guys. When was there not a controversial national championship? I mean, you remember when it was split, AP and UPI?
Oh, yeah.
You remember when in 2003, we shared a championship with LSU? LSU down there, they still don't honor the co-championship that we had with them. So there's always been an argument. You know what I mean? It's never been a clean shot.
Never.
And it's always going to be that way.
Yeah.
Unless you go totally to the NFL method. If you go to the NFL method, then there's a clean shot.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough, and it certainly breeds a lot of commentary and infighting and fighting online, and it's pretty crazy. But I wanted to ask you, so I saw something on Reddit, and it was basically, and I thought you'd be the man to confirm this. Did I read correctly? You actually you got the itch now. It's been a few years. You got the itch to get back on the sideline in some capacity. Is that true?
Yeah, you know, I've talked to some schools. Nothing has come. I was living in Miami. 37th floor overlooking the ocean. It was great, guys. I go to South Beach every day. I jog the Strand every day, 4.2 miles. I kept my head on a swivel, enjoyed all the sights. It was a great time. and but I moved back to Louisiana. I'm in Baton Rouge, and I have I've been looking at some jobs. Nobody has offered me a job, head job or D-line job yet. So I'm just going to wait around and see if something comes up that I like, I'm going to take. If not, I don't have to. You know, so I'm in a good spot.
All right, before you go, Coach, holiday's coming up. What's Coach O's perfect Christmas Day feast?
Oh, yeah.
What's on your table for the perfect Christmas? Because I know in Louisiana, there's nothing but good food everywhere you look.
Yeah. First of all, when I used to, you know, Christmas Eve, we used to go out a little bit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I come in, my mom would have a little bit of oyster dressing for me on the stove. Okay? Now, you know, you have dressing, but we put oysters in it. It's very rich. Then, we'll cook a turkey, we'll cook a ham, but you got to have oyster dressing in there and chicken and sausage gumbo with eggs in it. And then you have potato salad. And then you got to take your potato salad and put it in the gumbo.
Ooh.
So you got a plate of gumbo with potato salad in it, all right? And you got a big plate of oyster dressing, turkey, ham, sweet potatoes, and pecan pie.
Good.
How about that?
Good. That's perfect.
That's
absolutely perfect. It's the exact answer we were looking for, Coach.
Hey, you guys are the best, man.
Thank you so much.
Everybody in Southern California, IA, hello, man. We had a good time when I was at USC, and I got a lot of great friends down there, and you guys are wonderful, man.
Thank you so much, Coach O. We really appreciate your time and your energy, and we've been looking forward to this, man. It was a pleasure and an honor to get to talk to you, sir. Get back to your workout, and don't hurt yourself.
Hey, look, I used to bet to put three plates on that bench anytime, you know what I'm saying, on each side. You know, that's 315.
Dang.
But, and you get 64. I don't know. Maybe two plates now. Maybe not three. You know what I'm saying?
I just got two plates up for the first time this year, Coach, at 50, and I did it once, and I was like, all right, that's enough for me. I'm good.
There you go. I did that when I was 6 years old.
All right, this country's strong. We get it.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Hey, you guys take care of yourself. Okay?
Thanks, Coach.
There he is, Coach Ed Orgeron.
Why can't we do a weekly with him?
That was amazing. Thank you for finding Coach O for us.
He's the best.
Potato salad in the gumbo.
I mean, I cringed when I heard it, and then I went, nope, actually sounds pretty elite.
Hear it.
Pretty elite.
Clinton says you can get the potato salad in the gumbo at Bud's Cafe. It's just a couple blocks away from here. I might have to go try that.
That would be a little experimental for me. That would be something new, but if I was going to try it, if Ed O was like, here you go,
because
I'm done.
I love them both.
I love them.
Oh, God, I love potato salad.
I know you do.
I mean,
I know you do.
Of it. Troughs.
I never even thought to combine the two things together.
I wouldn't either.
He just texted me back. He goes, great job. That was so much fun.
He's the best, dude. Why can't we have a weekly with him? Can we? Does he know anything about baseball?
Can he coach third? I think we should try.
Can he coach third?
Oh, can you
run
imagine?
Run your ass home. Run. GD, run. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to send him. That's my fault. He's unbelievable.
He's the best.
That was so fun. Nice get, Paulie. Well done, sir.
All right, let's take a time out. When we come back, we'll get to a little don't do this on a Friday. I have a somewhat visual one, but I'll describe what happened last night in the NBA that had one guy shooting a technical foul free throw. A little bit embarrassed. We'll get to that and more coming up after a check of traffic. Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Man, what a segue, because we just heard about Coach Ed Orgeron, you know, used to be able to bench 315? Is that what he said?
Yeah. 315. Yeah.
315. Thinking about QC Kinetics, the pain that I had in my wrists, I couldn't have lifted 15 many, many years ago. A few years back, went to QC Kinetics, got my wrists completely fixed, and I'm lifting more weight than I ever have in my entire life. But not just about being back in the gym. It's about being back on the baseball field, being able to play with my kids, throw, catch, pick them up, throw them around, all of that. I mean, those are the things that I live for. I absolutely live for my passions in life. I didn't get to do them for a while, and it was really quite depressing. And if you've experienced joint pain, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's not just your knees, your hip, your back, your shoulders. It's time with family and friends. So give them a call today. Schedule a free consultation at QC Kinetics. Their number is 619-614-PAIN. Take that first step. Healing is within reach. Guys, it's a simple injection. It honestly, like, I'm such a, you know, like, if I can do it, you can go in there and get your treatments. It doesn't hurt at all. Ben's dad's in there getting his hips worked on. It really, really works. Check it out for yourself. 619-614-PAIN. Two locations, one in Torrey Hills, one in Hillcrest. 619-614-PAIN. It's QC Kinetics.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't
do this.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot, you moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Our thanks again to Coach O. He appeared on our David P. Shapiro fan hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorney, is helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. We'll have Darren Smith joining us on that same hotline in about 15 minutes. First, though, time for DDT. Don't do this. Brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a trust or will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. All right, a little bit of a visual story here, but I will explain. Last night, Tyler Hero of the Miami Heat had the opportunity to shoot a technical foul free throw. This is always kind of, I don't know, interesting when you're by yourself there at the free throw line. Mm-hmm. Entire arena is focused in on you.
Nobody around you.
Just everyone is looking at you in the arena. But he was doing the old practicing his free throw shot, like looking up and like not really looking
Didn't
at the referee.
The
Didn't have the ball yet. It was just standing there by himself. And the official, Jenna Renault, thought that he was looking and did the old bounce pass right to him, but he was not. And it took right into the groin, and he doubled over in pain, as we tend to do when we're struck in that area.
Right.
And it's just everyone is staring at him. She comes over. Oh, I'm so sorry. He's like a little annoyed for a second, like bats the ball away, and then realizes, okay, I can't. Don't make a big deal out of this. Don't make a big deal. I mean, I just can't even imagine.
It's fine. I'm good.
I'm so good. And we've all dealt with it at some point, but rarely with an entire arena of like 18,000 people just staring at you.
Right in the ding ding, man.
Right,
just
right there at the moment.
Oh.
Ow. Oh.
Taylor got me good the other day, man.
Did he?
Threw a ball, and it was perfect.
So
I mean,
just
perfect.
Your kids are at the age that their world exists, right?
To like, right down.
Right at that level.
Yeah, right there. Yeah, so.
Flailing arms, throwing balls, everything starts and ends
right there,
right at that level.
I was telling them that you guys got to clean up before we go to bed. Taylor didn't like that. He was not happy and took one of the balls and threw them at me and, well, hit me right in the boys. Actually, he didn't get the boys.
Ooh.
He got the other, the Frank.
The twig.
Yeah, not the berries. So, but it did not feel great.
But then you don't want to overreact and scare them.
Yeah, no, it was just like, good shot, dude. You got me right there. Nice work. All right, we're still cleaning up. We're still going to bed. And he was laughing, so, yeah. Listen, deal with it. I don't know, Benny, if this is a don't or a do this. You actually kind of liked it for do this,
okay.
But I think it's kind of a don't do this. So Vanderbilt may be one of those teams that's left on the bubble as well, but they had an idea. He told his the head coach, Clark Lee, said, I got an idea, and he wasn't joking about it. He told his Vanderbilt players to keep their bags packed in the event the Commodores could line up another game to try to make their case to a college football playoff committee that has them left out of the running for a spot. And he had their athletic director, Candace Lee, look into the viability and logistics of such an endeavor. Quote, we were looking for any and every possible way. There are NCAA and logical restraints. He really wanted to get like a pickup game going with another team. Maybe Notre Dame, you know? Maybe another team that doesn't play for a conference championship.
So, here it's a long shot.
Has it ever happened?
Well, it's happened in basketball. I remember, like, a team in the WCC, like, they play their conference tournament a week early, and they added a game the next week before Selection Sunday to try to add to their resume and keep sharp. So it has happened that you, at least in another sport, where you've added a game at the end of the season. Football, logistically, would be a nightmare to probably put on a football game at, you know, 3 or 4 days' notice. But what other choice does Vanderbilt have? They're not going to get in the playoff. And they thought, hey, Hail Mary, we play a game. We look really good doing it. Maybe we can convince someone.
But it's still a 12-team. Okay, it's still 12 teams.
Who would you play, though? Like you said,
Notre Dame.
It's a risk for Notre Dame.
It's a huge risk.
If you lose that game, you might be in already if you're Notre Dame. You play it and you lose, you're almost definitely out. So who could you convince to play it that would be good enough that would,
Texas,
it would be impressive?
Utah.
Texas and Vanderbilt would be an interest. Both teams out right now.
But see, Texas has already beaten Vanderbilt.
Yeah, that's true. Though that doesn't do them any good. That just gives Vanderbilt another crack at Texas.
It doesn't work that way, though. Like, it's not like, wow, we really... Could we get one more look at you guys? I just want one more look. Throw a game together against Miami and winner. Winner goes where? Where would the winner go? Who would they bump?
It's simply... Yeah, exactly.
Right. I mean, still, it's not going to.
If Alabama gets just trashed by Georgia,
maybe, but probably not.
And then you like, oh, but Vanderbilt looked really good in that pickup game they played.
Yeah, in that Sandlot game that they played.
I mean, that's why I think they were considering it at least. Like there could be something there, but ultimately it was almost definitely a fruitless
bit of.
Idea.
I think it was a bit of wheel spinning. Tire spinning for no good reason.
Well, and it's also to draw attention again to your program. Let's talk about it. It's a headline. You want people talking about you, just like Steve Sarkisian was making the argument that why should our game against Ohio State hurt us?
Right.
That was his big argument that resonated with a lot of people. If we didn't play Ohio State, if we played, you know, Troy,
right,
and beat them by 30, we'd have two losses like everybody else, and we'd be in the college football playoff likely. But instead, we played Ohio State, played them tough, played them at their place, and lost. And now you're hurting us for being a three-loss team. It's a good argument.
Who are the other losses to, though?
But that's the thing.
Texas.
It's not the Ohio State loss that's hurting
it's
you.
Not. It's not hurting you at all.
It's the other two
it's
losses
the other
that
two.
Are hurting you.
And it's the struggles against some of the lesser teams. And that's been the whole Miami-Notre Dame debate for two weeks, my ass. Like a month. That's been the whole debate is two losses by 4 points to two of the top teams in football. And the Irish could get left out after winning 10 in a row and decimating the guys they were supposed to decimate. Weaker schedule, but beating those guys and beating them soundly, having no issues.
You can localize it by just looking at like San Diego State basketball, like we've been talking about.
Right.
That Michigan loss, they're the number one team.
Yeah.
That's not going to be a bad loss at the end of the year.
Texas losing at Georgia, it was 35-10. And losing at Ohio State 14-7, not a problem.
No.
But losing at Florida 29-21 is keeping you out of the playoffs.
Yeah, man, that's what you look to.
And that wasn't week one. It was week five,
yeah.
I think.
And losing, if you're Miami, losing to SMU and losing to Louisville is what killed you, is what potentially could kill you. Beating Notre Dame head-to-head is great. That's great. But that win is also propping up your entire year. And so that's the difficult part. But, man, it is... It's insane, and I get it, man. The coach Sark has to go and campaign for his team. He has to. I think all these guys do. Cristobal has to do it. Marcus Freeman's got to do it. You have to do it. You have to go out there and campaign for your team.
A lot of politicking.
And hey, man, you've seen some of it work. You've seen some of it work. The committee has been swayed, I think. So maybe we go back to the computers. Load it all in. What does the computer spit out? That's who we're going with. You can't. There's no argument. There's no favoritism. Put it by the numbers, and we got to be able to figure out a better way and an easier way.
All right, if we included that as don't do this, then I will wish some doo-doo this.
DD mega doo-doo.
Good luck to a local team. USD Toreros Women Volleyball are in the NCAA tournament. They play today at 2:30 against Kansas State in Nebraska. The Toreros went 18-0 in the WCC this year.
Man.
They are one of the best local programs around. Coach Jennifer Petrie, been around last like 20, 25 years, taking her team to the tournament like 20 times. And they went to the Final Four a couple of years ago as well. Tough road, though, after K-State, because they're the 8 seed. K-State's the 9, which means if they win, number 1 overall seed, Nebraska, likely waiting on their home court in round number 2 tomorrow. But still, always an accomplishment to get there, and maybe they can do something. They had like every player of the year in the WCC. All first team, the best setter, the best outside hitter, best coach of the year. Wishing Jennifer Petrie and her squad good luck today in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Well done, ladies, and good luck. Kick some ass.
And that is don't and do this for a Friday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, when we come back, we will chat with our buddy Darren Smith. It is World Cup draw day. The MLS Cup final is tomorrow. We'll talk about baseball winter meetings and more with Darren Smith coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. It's 2 weeks left until the end of our year, at least, on Ben and Woods. 2 weeks from today is our Christmas and holiday extravaganza. Woods is stressing out, as he always does.
Whoa.
I'm quietly stressing out.
Yeah, yeah.
You do it a little more.
I'm oddly calm this year.
Paul is oddly calm this year.
Come on. Number seven. What is this, number seven?
Seven.
Yeah, we've done six of them. We're good. I know what we're doing.
Get that meat wheel, man. Gotta find that meat wheel.
We have a couple of things already in place.
Yeah, in the hopper.
In the hopper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, more than a couple, you just don't know about
them. Yeah, you just don't know about them.
We had Joe Musgrove kind of gave us a soft RSVP earlier this week.
Yeah. Diane Musgrove will be
here.
She's
definitely going to be there.
She's definitely going to be
here. There will be Musgrove representation.
Yes, Musgrove. Musgrove will be here.
Creamers and syrups and stuff for our audience, in-studio audience. If, by the way, you already know if you're going to be in the in-studio audience. Isn't that correct, Paulie?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure. And there's always an open invitation to our next guest standing by, Darren Smith.
I believe he has also soft launched an RSVP.
Outstanding. Darren will join us right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. I spent most of last week trying to convince Woods that he's not a jinx. He really needs to see SDFC in person before the season ends.
Appreciate it.
They won't know you're there. Just show up. Look at the crowd. Look at Frontera SD. Watch the environment. And we show up last Saturday. And within, 7 minutes, Vancouver scores. Then they score again. And Woods is just panicking up in the press box.
Sick.
And finally, after they get the third goal right before half, Woods says, "We're out of here." And then we walk out and listen to Darren on the way home. Chucky scores. We're going to go, yes, the evidence does point toward Woods potentially being a jinx. I don't know why, Darren, but if that was the case, then we're very sorry. I'm very sorry for bringing him.
Yes, Ben's fault. I did not want to go.
Yeah, I mean, I could be in Fort Lauderdale, but Ben and Woods just had to go to a soccer game for no real reason whatsoever. Hadn't been to one all year, doing just fine. Ben and Woods show up. I see your names on the seating chart, and I knew.
Yeah, you knew.
And
it.
I knew it was going to be trouble.
I mean,
I just knew it. I had a bad feeling when I saw your guy's name on the seating chart, and I just said, well, it's been a good season, hasn't
been
it?
A fun one. You guys, you all know the story of the Jake Cronenworth hit against the Dodgers. I left the game. Yep. I was so infuriated by how the Padres were playing. I looked at my wife.
It was like 2-0
I couldn't. Yeah. I was so mad. And I told her, I go, I can't be here right now. These playoff games are too intense. I don't want to talk to anyone. I go, can we please go? We got a babysitter. She goes, fine. And as we are turning into our entrance, Ha-Sung Kim hits the ball down the line. I get inside. I take my clothes off. I'm in my underwear standing in front of the TV. Jake Cronenworth gets the knock. Paulie was at the game, stayed at the game. I leave the game. We win the game. And I'm like, all right, there's something to this. And so I've limited my action at big games. And now I think it's stupid. Jinxes really don't exist, I don't think, but holy smokes, man. Like, because I was the Seals PA announcer. We won some big games. I've been around some wins before. I know I've seen some wins.
Now,
but
now, Darren, give us the real analysis of why they lost last Saturday that has nothing to do with Woods.
Yeah, I mean, it's because Scott Peters was there. You know, a whole bunch of people. No, I'm kidding. It was just Vancouver. Vancouver's really good, you know, and I think when you look at how the standings unfolded, the two teams were tied on points at the end of the regular season. SDFC won the tiebreaker because Major League Soccer does things a little bit differently in that the first tiebreaker prioritizes wins over goal differential. If it was goal differential like it is in a lot of other leagues, that game would have been in Vancouver and you would have felt like Vancouver was the favorite in the game, right? So, you know, they scored more goals. They allowed fewer goals. They only had 7 losses. They were tied with Miami. I think, you know, it's easy to overlook how good Vancouver was during the season. And they came in with a great plan. And they absolutely just blitzed SDFC right from the opening whistle. I think they targeted a couple of young players, a couple of rookie players that SDFC had that were playing phenomenally well. But this is pro sports. And pro sports isn't about trying to, you know, take your foot off the gas just because the player's a rookie. They went out of their way to say, we're going to try to get the ball over there towards Ian Pilcher, and we're going to take advantage of him because he's playing out of position, and we think we can capitalize on the other side of the field with a different rookie. So I just think they deserve a lot of credit. The big point that feels disappointing, and Ben, I know you were out there earlier this week, we know that San Diego Football Club is better than this. And, you know, it's one thing to lose, but I think what leaves the sour taste in everybody's mouth isn't just the loss. It's feeling like you didn't play well in the final game, in an elimination game. And that will sting. There's no doubt about it. But I think it's also easy to zoom out and understand and feel like this was really special.
Yeah, talking to our pal Darren Smith here on Ben and Woods this morning, and no rest for the weary, though. I mean, you guys are right back at this thing in how long?
A month.
January 9th, Players Report, I think, is the report date. So, you know, certain guys have to go fly around the world and reintroduce themselves to their families. Ben, you were there when Manu Dua said he hadn't been home to Ghana in 4 years.
Wow.
So he was going to go home and spend time with family for a couple of weeks, and then he's expected to be back. Now, you're expecting guys to be back. Nobody really knows what's going to happen because transfer windows open up in January, so there's going to be a lot of rumors flying around about which players might stay, which players might go, which players could be added from different teams, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, it's not a lot of time at all, you know, and like I had to ask Mike Ivaris that question, like, can you even decompress from this? And he's like, yeah, no. You know, so he started thinking, like, how am I going to do this? And, you know, especially when you think about everything that goes into an expansion season, right?
Right.
Like, this is a long season if you've done this 10 times. But it's a really, really long season when you've done it for the first time, and you have to do all the other things that come with doing it for the very first time in San Diego. So, I hope these guys get some rest. I know everybody's excited to get a second season going and see what it looks like. Who knows what to expect? I mean, how could it be better than this, right? There's only one way, and that's to go to MLS Cup. But, man, what a season. I just keep thinking that. Like, what a great opportunity it was just to be a part of it.
And you heard Tyler Heaps, the sporting director, say even more amazing than Manu Dua not going home in 4 years. Tyler Heaps got married last December.
Yeah.
He said he is so busy putting together the team. He has seen his new wife, Lindsay Horan, from the U.S. Women's National Team, about 20 times in the entire year. So maybe like
imagine
one
that.
And a half times a month, he saw his wife in the first year of their marriage.
Hannah's trying to get me to be the new sporting director of
That usually comes after a couple of years of marriage, right? Yeah. I mean, it's incredible because his wife plays in France. And he got married December 28th of last year. And like you said, I mean, I asked him, just for some memories during the season, and he brought up that one LA Galaxy game where they won in the middle of the day, not the first one. And he's like, yeah, that was so special because my wife was here. Like, she doesn't get many opportunities to come out and to watch us play. So, you know, he definitely, he's going to be doing some of his work, I'm sure, from Europe over the next couple of weeks. But yeah. I mean, the season's going to be here before you know it, man. It's like there's no opportunity. And the season actually starts sooner than the MLS season because you qualified for this tournament, this CONCACAF Champions Cup tournament. So that's going to start even earlier than the MLS regular season on February 21st. So, yeah, I mean, good luck, everybody.
Yeah, Darren Smith joins us right now. And I know you're fired up for World Cup. And, you know, I was telling Benny walking out of wrestling on our way to SDFC against my will, by the way, that I'm actually excited for World Cup because I watched so much MLS this year, enjoyed the hell out of it. I really did. The hearts and minds of San Diego were captured by this team. We have spent way more time talking about SDFC than I ever thought we would, and I've enjoyed every second of it. And now I'm like, all right, well, I don't watch a lot of international soccer. I don't watch the world stage very much. I'm excited to see what the next level looks like. How fired up are you for the World Cup? Who in your mind wins it? Who's the sneaky team? Give me all your Darren Smith World Cup analysis.
Well, I'm excited because it's here and it's in North America. So that means time-wise, you don't have to set alarm clocks and wake up and be like, do I really want to watch Spain and Portugal at 2 a.m? You can just say there will be games on from the time we wake up until the time we probably go to sleep, right? With the time zones and this being in Canada and Mexico and in the U.S. So I'm excited for that. The draw's today, so we'll know a little bit more about who's going to be playing whom. We'll know where exactly and when exactly tomorrow, I think. They're going to spread this out over 2 days because why wouldn't they?
Why wouldn't
FIFA?
They? Right.
Yeah, let's make sure that we can go as over the top and stretch this out as long as possible to just pluck some balls out of some fishbowls and announce teams. I am excited because you're going to have the biggest players in the world playing here in the U.S. for about a month. And, you know, I think Spain is going to be the favorite. Argentina is going to be the co-favorite. I mean, listen, Messi can say and sit all he wants and say he's not going to play. Man's going to play.
Is he really?
Man's playing next. I think so. I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, why wouldn't he play? He's already here. Like, they've already built an entire Argentina base camp in Miami for him. So I don't know why he wouldn't do this. I mean, seriously, like Inter Miami has 10 Argentines on the squad and they've already built. The national team has a base camp already built in Miami. So, I mean, whatever. But that's exciting. I think that's good. I mean, I think that's part of the appeal for him playing here. So I think, you know, the teams that you know, the favorites, France, Argentina, Spain, England, I'm sure will make a lot of noise like they always do, but probably come up short. You know, there's some sneaky good teams. Morocco's a team. Norway's a team. They have that Erling Haaland guy who you might see who plays for Manchester City, who scores a billion goals. So it's going to be great. You know, I can't wait for the draw because I just want to try to plan like a trip. I just want to find out if I can actually get to some of these games.
Nice.
I would love to go to the three Mexican venues or maybe the Canadian venue. No offense to the U.S. venues, but those are NFL stadiums. I don't know that I'd rather go. But I also want to see who's going to be playing where. And, you know, 48 teams, biggest World Cup ever. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of juice to it.
I know you can't really say anything with any certainty until the draw is over. But for Team USA, you have the advantage of, just to explain it to everybody, there's four different, like, tiers, and you'll have one team from each tier. Because they're one of the hosts, U.S. gets in the top tier. So they don't get picked with any of the other top teams. Now, there's still a lot of good teams in the second tier and the third tier, but it's an advantage to be the host. So what's a good result? We know they're not going to win the World Cup. They're not still after...
What? How dare you? What kind of American?
After 30 years of promising that...
He hates America so much.
Was it 1994 when we hosted the first time and everyone said, yeah, this is the taste. And then in like 10, 15 years, the U.S. will be alongside these other big teams. Right. Remember that, Darren?
Team of the future every year. I've heard that every cycle.
Never happened. It's not happening this year. What's a good result for Team USA next summer?
I think winning at least a game in the knockout round, you know, maybe making it to the,
that would be the Sweet 16. That would be the Sweet 16 this year because the knockout round starts at 32.
At 32, yeah. So. I mean, maybe, you know, winning, maybe making it to, you know, can you make it to the final eight? You know, so much of this, like you said, depends on the draw. Like already, you know, there's these doomsday predictions about, oh no, it's going to be Morocco and Norway and Italy, even though Italy hasn't even officially qualified. But, you know, I mean, I think winning a couple of games, like, would, you know, not just in the group stage, getting out of group should be the very least that anybody would expect here. There's going to be 12 groups of four. Like you said, Ben, now we go on to 32-16. So, you know, I mean, can you go toe-to-toe with a big team? Can you have an indelible moment like you did in 94 where you beat the Colombians? So, you know, can you have one of those kind of moments and maybe make people believe that you can go on this magic carpet ride and maybe make it to the round of eight? I would like to see that. I think that would be considered success. Otherwise, I'd feel like we really haven't improved all that much from where we were in Qatar.
Well, so I wanted to bring this up, too, because Paulie said, man, I got a text from D. Smith yesterday asking him, you know, about next week and the week after. And he said, you know, Darren always plays a little bit, not coy is not the right word, but he's like, oh, no, I mean, like, if it's done, you guys can just tell me it's done.
You're very appreciative. You're very appreciative. I'm like, our time's not over.
And I said, no. Yeah. I said, I'm going to make sure I tell him on the air, you're on the show on Fridays. We're just doing this. And if we don't have soccer to talk about, we'll find something else to talk about. We can always find something. Baseball, football, college football, life, wine, whatever it is.
Ty Adcock.
Any thoughts on Adcock?
Any thoughts on Adcock yesterday?
Plenty of thoughts on Adcock.
As did I.
It's a tale as old as time. The Padres go out there and find a reliever who nobody's really heard of, and he'll probably be an all-star in 2 years. I mean, they've been doing this since the beginning of Petco Park.
That's true.
This is one thing AJ Preller does well. I said that. It's like, this is what they do well, so you know, probably going to be good.
As well. Kevin Towers did this. I mean, you find these relievers, Clay Meredith. We could all sit here for the next 15 minutes just rattling off random Padre relievers who you never heard of, who ended up becoming big-time pieces. Scott Linebrink. Ikenora Otsuka, Mike Adams, Heath Bell.
Mike Adams was nasty. That slider, like, forget it.
Right, like, this guy should be the closer. This is amazing.
It's every year,
Jeremiah Estrada.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, so I have no doubt that this guy is going to fit right in and be the next version of that. Well, I appreciate that because I did say to Paul, I said, listen, I, if it's run its course, it's run its
course. It's not run its course. Pipe down. You're good. You're on the show.
I never feel like I'm on the show until I make my way into that graphic that you guys play on the YouTube show during traffic.
Get him in the graphic. ASAP. Get him in the graphic, please. Yeah. And I want
feel like,
I want maybe. The picture of him from the 90s when he had his long hair and he looked like he was in like puddle of mud or saliva. That's the Darren Smith is my favorite.
Yeah. Well, thank you for saying that, not like Nickelback or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah. Every time the Reds would come to town, Channel 4, the old Channel 4 and Matty V would put me on a side-by-side with who is that pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds? What was his name? Bronson Arroyo.
Bronson Arroyo. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that was my claim to fame, is I could be compared to Bronson Arroyo on an old Cox Channel 4 broadcast. So, very exciting.
We will get you in the traffic montage ASAP. You can count
on it. You don't have to. It's okay.
No, hey, shut up. Stop,
Darren. We love you.
We love you. You're coming to the Christmas show, the whole thing. We're going to really.
That's what I heard. Yes. Well, I did say is that, I mean, that sounds like an awkward virtual appearance, so I figured that would.
Come on in. Enjoy some of Diane Musgrove.
The invites
coffee.
Have been out, so I don't know.
You're in.
You come in that last Friday. We're done for the year, and then like the SDFC reports like the week we get back. January,
so we're good.
So it's all good,
right? Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, I don't know how these guys do it. We think the baseball season's long just because it's every day.
I know,
this thing started in freaking February.
I can't even. And they run so much; they have to be tired.
Darren, really just keep running. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you next Friday and every Friday for the foreseeable future. The
rest of your life,
buddy.
You're locked.
Well, that sounds like a threat.
It is. Darren Smith on a David P. Shapiro fan hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime. Since 2010, visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. All right, we'll come back. We have 2 hours left. We will talk some football. Last night's game was interesting.
Yep.
Plus, college football championship weekend is upon us. Our biggest fan. We've got Take on Woods all ahead as well. So don't go anywhere. Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.